something very important has happened that we don't think a lot of people are aware of when it comes to the decline of achievement in largely white districts south of I-80. All this achievement business has been very heavily racialized for a really long time. This idea of a low-achieving, low-income school was basically code for, you know, a school that serves low-income kids of color in a racially identifiable area or a racially identifiable school. We now have concentrations of white poverty that are nothing like the concentrations of poverty that occur in communities of color, but we're getting these gigantic declines in achievement that pretty much match what low-income communities of color have been experiencing for years. And a big part of our point here is, like, this is maybe a little too cute a phrase, but poverty is an equal opportunity disruptor.
The researchers arrived at this conclusion by tracking test rankings of 55 large unit districts across the state over the years 2001 to 2016. Let's take Galesburg, for example. It's a mainly white school district where more than half of students achieved at or above statewide median test scores in both reading and math in 2001. But over the past 15 years, Galesburg percentages have fallen to just 46% in math and 36% in reading. At the same time, the percentage of their student body that is low income has increased by 20%.
What seemed ironic to us as we were writing this report is that at the very time that we have substantial communities of color being able to figure out, at least to some degree, how to combat some of the things that go along with coming from low-income communities. So you see that 15 to 20 point rise in Chicago. At the same time that's happening, you see the floor fall out from underneath achievement in districts which not that long ago saw themselves as kind of immune to achievement issues that they were identifying with areas like Chicago or Rockford or East St. Louis or whatever. And a lot of that looks like it had to do with rising low-income enrollments in those districts.
I noticed that the title of this is Upstate / Downstate, and it looks like Upstate is doing better than Downstate. And I was wondering if that was any kind of play on the old PBS series Upstairs, Downstairs.
Well, that's what made it come to mind, yeah. There's almost as much property wealth, you know, in suburban Chicagoland as there is in the rest of the state put together. So that's not an insignificant factor. You know, it's not the entire thing. Myself as a principal, you know, worked in plenty of districts that were not well-funded and not well-heeled when it came to property wealth. And we still did, I think, a pretty decent job of helping kids have the kind of opportunities that every kid deserves. But it does make a difference when you have 35 kids in a classroom as opposed to 20 kids in a classroom. That's where most of those dollars go to, is to pay teachers. And so anyone who argues otherwise, I think, is just not very familiar with how schools work.
Okay, so in general, socioeconomic status and academic achievement kind of follow the same arc, right?
That's right. The household income of a youngster, it predicts pretty clearly, if you look at averages, how students are going to do, with remarkable accuracy.
The content of the report is not some kind of touchy-feely narrative on how to be an effective school. It's just data that shows you it is possible to be an effective school. With this kind of demographics, you can still get this kind of test results.
Well, that's right. And we've got plenty of studies prior to this that say it's possible to do that. What we were interested in doing was seeing to what extent that was actually happening in different parts of the state. So in 2001, when we looked at how all the districts in Chicago and the six-county area surrounding Chicago were doing, on average, and the district had about 50% of its kids coming from low-income households, about 35% of kids in those districts were doing as well as the statewide median. Not very promising, right? In 2016, a district that had 50% low-income enrollments in Chicago and suburban Chicagoland, about 50% of kids would be scoring at or above statewide median. That's a pretty big increase, particularly since the statewide median went up just a little bit. By contrast, when you go to districts in central Illinois, south of I-80, north of I-70, that number stayed pretty much constant at about 45%. The problem is that lots more districts had much higher low-income enrollment than they in 2016 than they did in 2001. And so the net effect is that you have a lot of districts that are doing much less well compared to the rest of the state in 2016 than they were in 2001. Some of those drops are pretty dramatic.
Yeah, one of them is Urbana. Urbana was doing great, and it's just taken a dive, and Urbana's home of University of Illinois, and a lot of kids there, you know, they have parents who are college professors.
Yeah, exactly. Same can be said for Bloomington, home of ISU, right? I mean, so Bloomington lost about 20 points.
Although Champaign did not take a dive, and that's also home of University of Illinois.
It didn't take as big a dive. Let's put it this way: its performance compared to the rest of the state did go down.
What explains it?
Well, we're not, of course, in a position to say specifically what explains it. But what you were asking earlier about this idea of school effectiveness, and what we're saying in the report is that the various factors that go into making a school more effective seem to be operating at scale to a much greater degree in the six counties surrounding Chicago and in Chicago than they are downstate. Lots of people could speculate about why that's happening. Well, what we do know is that there are a number of factors that show up in the school effectiveness literature that are really very closely associated with this business of better academic performance. When schools create a safe and orderly environment, when they have ambitious instruction, when teachers have time to collaborate, when there's a lot of parent community outreach, I mean, there are a number of factors that, you know, consistently relate to higher levels of student achievement.
And does school funding, does it correlate with it?
It does. It's not clear how consistently that is. That is to say, it's not clear that that's a direct cause of these things. But one of the things that looked pretty interesting to us as we were looking into this stuff is that the percent of parity between downstate districts and districts in the Chicagoland area, you know, for districts that had mid-range incidence of low-income enrollments or a very high incidence of low-income enrollments, the level of parity that existed between downstate districts and districts in suburban Chicagoland dropped. So the suggestion there, at least, is that there's at least some connection between the kind of funding that's available to districts and their ability to build the capacity to do the things that make them more effective.
Well, okay, I will say that this report is a cliffhanger because it leaves a lot of unanswered questions. It's really scary, but you don't know who done it.
Right. Well, we tried to be at least intellectually honest enough to stay away from speculating in a way that made it sound like we actually have clear answers to that question. What we do know is that something scary has happened here, and it's time to take it seriously and get a little closer bead on why.